Amen. Praise the Lord. Miss Bell, that was beautiful. Jesus, have it all. I pray that's your heart tonight, that we would give and yield everything to Him. He wants that. He saved us for that, and He deserves that. Amen. We do offer Him all of our being tonight. Love Him with our mind, our soul, our strength. That's what He wants. Well, take your Bibles. I'm in Luke chapter 14. If you'll be making your way there, Luke chapter 14, and studying these parables of Christ, and I want you to look in chapter 14, and we'll be down in verse 15 tonight. I'm so glad Baptists love to eat. Amen. Amen. Fellowship and feasting, and it's just a part of our faith. Amen. It's biblical, actually, and we'll see that tonight, that God is a God that invites us to come and feast, and to feast on what He has provided. And in the Old Testament, of course, you find that frequently. When God was delivering His people from their bondage there in Egypt, you recall Moses, when he first went to Pharaoh, when God said, listen, Moses, go get my people, tell Pharaoh to let them go. Why? Well, so that they can go 3 days out into the wilderness and there feast with me, have a meal with me, sup with me. Now, where are you going to get enough food in the wilderness to feed all those people is another question, right? I mean, that's a question that we should have thought about. How would that actually happen? Well, Pharaoh, of course, said, I don't think so. I'm not going to let him go. And we all know what God did. After the plagues, the Passover meal, the Passover death angel, and all that took place, Pharaoh finally said, go out to your God. Go have your meal with Him. Go feast with Him. And they did. And praise God, He brought them out of bondage and brought them there to Mount Sinai, there at the mountain where God said, here's where I'm going to feast with them. And they established a meal there as a reminder of His deliverance, a feast that we celebrate. It's been given a new meaning in Christ. Amen. It's a feast that we enjoy, we celebrate. We'll observe the Lord's Supper here in September coming up in a couple weeks. And just a constant reminder, our God is a God who satisfies the hunger of our hearts, the desire that we have. Only He can satisfy that hunger. Of course, we know and that this all anticipates something we're looking forward to in heaven. At least I am. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that feast we're going to have there, where Jesus is going to have a meal for a wedding ceremony, a celebration that His bride, He's come and snatched her away. And oh, what a day that will be. Amen. You go over to the Old Testament. That's just the nature of our God, the heart of our God. A God who is inviting people to come. Come while there's time. Come. And He's issuing this invitation. I believe He's issuing that invitation. The Spirit, according to Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit is saying, come. The bride, that's us, listen, that has the Spirit of Christ within us, we should be doing the same thing, amen? Saying what? Come. Come and see for yourself. Come and see. God is concerned about that. He's desiring that those made in His image will come to Him. He wants that. Even Isaiah in his day, I love that great chapter, 55. How to quench your thirst and satisfy your hunger. Three times God will say there through the prophet, come. You who are thirsty. You who are hungry, you have no money to buy the food that's necessary. You're poor, you're bankrupt, you have nothing but still come. Come satisfy your thirst. Get wine, get bread, get milk, get the water, get all of that to quench your thirst. Why would God issue that invitation if it wasn't ready? He wouldn't, but it is ready. Why would God issue that invitation if He can't satisfy those who are seeking, those who are thirsting, those who are hungry? In fact, it's fascinating. Have you read Proverbs? What is Lady Wisdom doing? Lady Wisdom, who's at every crossroads and every door, every gate of the city, every new opportunity, every decision point. She's there screaming, crying out for those that are passing by. The foolish ones, the simple-minded ones, even the scoffers, right? Inviting them to come. And when you get to chapter 9, what you discover, Lady Wisdom is saying, come, I've got what? A feast for you. I've got a banquet prepared. It's all prepared. It's all ready. Her maidens, she's calling out. And I believe it's just, that's the nature of our God. An invitation to thirsty souls, an invitation to poor souls who have not even the what's required to pay for the meal. We have no ability. We have no self-sufficiency. We need Him completely. But that's our God. I'm grateful He's open to any and all who will come. In fact, Paul would say it this way, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you know, it's amazing. Stop and think about the meal God is offering, the meal God is providing, the invitation He is extending. You know, when you get an invitation in the mail, do we still do that? I mean, I know sometimes right now with our electronic gadgetry now, sometimes it all comes through text messaging. And I mean, email is so passe now, right? We don't even do emails anymore. It's got to be text driven, right? Think about that when an invitation comes. You know, the host who's inviting you to join them would really like to know if you're coming or not. I mean, they're preparing the food. They want to have enough for everyone. They want to know whether you're going to be there and to celebrate time with you. And yet our responsibility when someone invites us is to let them know whether we're going to come or whether we're not going to be able to be there. Well, we're going to read this parable where God is extending an invitation. He's inviting people to come. In fact, it comes on the heels of having a meal. And those who are seated at the meal have a question for Jesus. And so it's funny that they're talking, they're enjoying a meal together. And as they're enjoying the meal together, a question comes up about a meal. I'm in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 15 here. And we'll go down through verse 24. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord," note that, "began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So that the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" Lord, help us to understand this important teaching about the invitation to your meal. God, we praise you and we do thank you that you invited us. We thank you that your desire to fill that room, Lord, to invite all who will come, Lord, to experience only what can satisfy their souls. And yet, God, our hearts are heavy. Lord, as we know, we have invited some and they've made excuses and not responded to come. But Lord, we ask that you would have mercy. We ask that you would continue to woo them, continue to draw them, continue to invite them, Lord, while there's time, while there's breath, Lord, to come and experience the satisfaction that comes in knowing Christ. And Lord, may we be faithful servants extending that invitation, we who have received it. And Lord, may we extend it to others that they too may discover your great love. We love you and we praise you and we ask this all in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the ancient custom regarding large feasts was an announcement would be made. Announcement would be made months in advance so that people could prepare and set their affairs in order and come and enjoy the feast with the one who was inviting them. People would be invited And they would send back some letter or some letter of acceptance or a declining of the invitation, so that when the feast was ready, and the guests arrived, there would be sufficient for everyone that was there. What's amazing about this master is he has an invitation, a certain man. We don't know who he is. Jesus has given us a parable. But we know it's a picture, actually, of our Father in heaven. It's a picture of our God. An invitation that he is extending, literally, I believe, to the world to come to him. And I love that. You know, the invitation is just sweet and simple. It's just come. It's just come. You know, sometimes I think that's important for us to realize. Just say that this week to someone. Hey, why don't you come? Why don't you come? And let's see if the Spirit doesn't use that to work in someone's heart. You never know until you say, come. Come and see for yourself. You find that oftentimes in Scripture. Whosoever will come, just come. Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who will come, praise the Lord. I heard someone say, just come. Amen. Aren't you grateful for that tonight? What's amazing is the servant who is told to issue that invitation, everything was prepared. Everything was made ready, and the people were invited. And as he went and invited them, some didn't understand that all things were ready, and they made excuses why they couldn't come. Now, this is serious that the invitation is extended. I mean, evidently this man was a man of great wealth, and to not accept his invitation, to reject it, would actually be saying something about the host himself. And so as he issues this, we're mindful tonight, you know, when God says to us to come, he's done everything to make it ready. Amen? This is what this table reminds us. Every time we come to this table, we're reminded he's done everything to make us a part of that meal, to invite us to that meal. Jesus has suffered, he's bled, he's died, he's given his life for us. Everything is now ready. Come, it's all ready. You don't have to tarry any longer. You can come, but you have to go when you're invited. Now, what's amazing about the invitation that's rejected here is what I circled in my Bible. I highlighted as we were reading through it. There, I thought it was interesting when it said this, that they all with one accord began to make excuses. Did you notice that in verse 18? Hey, I'm not necessarily saying they all gathered together and said, I don't really want to go there. How about you? But there is a sense in which there was a spirit behind their rejection, an unwillingness to come. And they all, I don't know if they conspired together, but they all made their excuses why they couldn't come. One made an excuse. It sounded reasonable, at least in some ways, right? Listen, I've purchased a piece of property. I've bought a piece of land. And you know what I need to do? I need to go examine that land and look over it. Well, that's interesting. Evidently, they didn't have Zillow, right? They didn't have some web app so they could look at the property and do a virtual walkthrough. But they made the excuse that, you know what, I can't go because of this land I have to examine. Now, that may be those who are material-minded or just tied to this earth, unwilling, really, to know that there's a land we're going to. It's far better than this one. But they made an excuse. They weren't able to come because they had some business engagement in some way. One had the excuse of his work, right? I've got 5 oxen here I've just bought. And you know what I need to do? I need to go put them to the test. I need to go find out if they can do the work that I paid for them to do. And so he allows his work to get in the way of responding to the invitation from the nobleman to come to the feast. Now, that's a reminder for us, because let's just be honest. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't have time to go to the things maybe that are really more important. I think Jesus taught that with Mary and Martha once, right? One who was just so consumed with work, that she didn't do the thing that needed priority, which was sitting at the feet of the master and listening to his instruction about the kingdom. But money isn't evil in and of itself, and work isn't evil. Work is a good thing. God gave us the responsibility to work in the garden. It is affected by sin now, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But there are warnings all throughout Scripture about the danger of working to pursue riches, to enrich oneself. And sometimes, as Paul would tell Timothy, you have to be careful because you might shipwreck your faith if you do go that way. Now, the love of money is what's evil, not the money itself, but loving it. Well, this individual evidently was so busy and that he had to do something with his work. And so his care for that doesn't excuse him. He just says, I can't come. The third excuse is a relationship I think we all would be mindful of. Listen, I've just gotten married. I've married a wife. Well, now that's exciting. Amen. I still remember the wife of my youth. I celebrate my bride. I'm grateful for her. And certainly, I mean, listen, we've got to go enjoy our honeymoon, or we've got to go enjoy that time together and build our relationship. Well, there's a danger, though, when we realize and become absorbed in a relationship with someone that's hindering us from coming to God and experiencing all that He has for us. You know, it's amazing because that's the one relationship, right? A husband and a bride that's supposed to point to Christ and the church, right? And yet here, that relationship is something that hinders them from coming to Christ and coming to God. It's interesting, these three illustrations, these three examples, these three excuses that are given of why someone can't come. But they're all exposed. They're all laid out. And it's really a point for us to stop and examine. Do we make excuses as well why we won't come? Because there's those who will. In fact, this week, I just double dog dare you. Tell someone, come, and see what excuse you get. Does it have to do with their work? Does it have to do with a relationship they have? Does it have to do with some material possession that hinders them from coming to church? Truth is, we're all excused. We're all exposed. No one has an excuse that is justifiable why you cannot come to God. And yet, there's people who today will give us their excuses and say, no, I can't come. And so the master isn't happy about this. He gets quite angry. And I think the Lord is quite angry as well with our excuses sometimes. Why we won't come. We who need to come. We who should come. Some people will say, you know what, I'm not going to come because, let's just be honest, there are too many hypocrites in the church. Well, come join us, right? Amen. Hell will be full of them. The church may have some, but hell will be full of them. Some will say, you know what, I just can't, I can't live it. I can't live that life. Well, you know, someone will say that, but the reality is this, if they say that to you this week, you know, I just can't do what, I can't live that life. But just ask them, you know what, when you go to the pool, did you have to learn how to swim? Yeah, you did. And you know what? There's things we'll have to learn when we come to the church. And the amazing thing is, God's the great teacher, and He supplies every resource that needed because He gives us Himself. So that's really a poor excuse. Some will just say, you know, I don't feel like it's time for me. Well, none of us is promised tomorrow. So while there's an opportunity, you should come. You should come while the invitation is extended, while the invitation is open. And then I also always love the ones who say, no, my life is too much of a mess. And I think, you know what, I'm just the bottom of the bucket. If God can have mercy on me, if God can redeem me, as I think about what Paul said, it's a trustworthy statement, deserving all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I'm the foremost. When you know, when you regard yourself as the bottom of the bucket, there's hope for everybody up above you, amen? And I just like to tell people that. A lot of people think, oh, preacher, you don't have any problems. You don't know the pit that God pulled me up out of. And I just praise God. And if He can do it, don't make an excuse. And then some will say, you know what, I'll just come later, not today. But again, no one is promised tomorrow. So come today. In fact, it's fascinating. We saw this in Hebrews. Today, if you hear His voice, don't draw back, go forward. Go forward and respond to that invitation that's speaking to you today that says, come. Well, the many reject it. The master is angry. And the servant comes and explains. Listen, we've reported all of this. And yet the master says, go out quickly, verse 21, into the streets, the lanes of the city. And bring in here, notice those who he wants to bring in. The poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind. Invite in those. Why would we invite those? Why would you bring those in? I mean, the poor, they're bankrupt. They got nothing. that they can't pay back the master. They have nothing to offer him, and yet that's who God reaches out, me and you, amen? I mean, that's the blessedness of the Beatitudes. It begins with, blessed are those who are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things we have to acknowledge when we respond to his invitation to come is we got nothing to offer. We're empty-handed beggars. But praise God, we found the one who's said, come, and I'll satisfy. It's the same thing Isaiah said over Isaiah 55. You who have no money to buy, you who have no money to buy those essential things that you need to quench your thirst and satisfy your soul, come, because it's freely given by God. Really, that's an excuse that doesn't work. We all come empty-handed. But he says, go to the poor and bring them in and bring them in. Go to the maimed. Who are the maimed? Does that mean? Well, that's the twisted, deformed ones, right? The ones that society would have nothing to do with. They would want to keep them at a distance. And yet, you stop and think about what God says to you and I. It isn't just going out to find the ones that look like us and invite them to come. Some may look quite deformed out there, and the reason that they're deformed is because of sin. Their life is a twisted mess. You ever heard that before? My life is a twisted mess. Well, that's the picture for us, right? That their lives are racked because of sin, and yet the Bible says to them, come, come. We got the one who can heal, right? The one who can make us straight, the one who can make us right. Go out there to the lame, the crippled. Why would you go out to them? When you stop and think about that invitation, anyone that's lame or crippled, what is going to happen? Someone's going to have to bring them, help them, because they can't get there on their own. And there's a reminder, even in Mark's gospel, right, of four men who brought a friend who couldn't walk on his own. They brought him on a stretcher, took him to the roof because it was so crowded. But they wanted him to come, and they did everything necessary to get him there. Tore back the roof and let him down. What amazing faith, not just that they had, but he had. Trust in them as they let him down, right? Amazing faith, Jesus said. I often wonder which one he was talking about. The man on the cot or the four dropping him down. It was amazing faith, but they said, you've got to come and we're going to get you there. Go invite them, bring them in, and then also bring in the blind. All of these outcasts of society, all those who would be rejected, who are the blind? The blind can't see. The blind live in darkness, right? You imagine, you shut your eyes and it's just dark, you can't see. These are the ones that need the light, and they need a guide, they need someone to bring them along to show them the light. That's us, that's you, and that's me. It's our responsibility, not just to say come, but when we find them in this condition, perhaps it's necessary that we enable them, we facilitate them, we help them and guide them or help provide for them to get here. That's what we should be doing. That's what the servant does. He goes out and he expands this invitation that the master has. And church, that's what we should be doing. Amen. Through the ministries we do corporately, but then individually in our own life. Go this week and just extend God's invitation to those that are out there. I mean, the servant just does what his master says. And he said, Master, that is done as you have commanded. And yet, I circled this in my Bible, still there is room. Still there is room. Why? I just believe that our master, when he made us and made all those glory bearers, his intention was that his glory bearers would be there to reflect and radiate his glory forever. Hell, it says in Matthew's gospel, wasn't prepared for man. It says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But the consequence of rebellion, like Satan and those fallen angels, is the same. Hell, for rejecting God's invitation to come. And so he goes and he says, Master, everything you said is ready. And we've invited those that are maimed and poor, those who are crippled, those who are blind. We've done all of that, and yet there's still plenty of room. And the master said, well then, now go out into the highways. Go out into the hedges. And I love this word. I circled it as well in verse 23. Compel them. Compel them. You have to come. While there's time. How burdened are we to issue that invitation. This is God's desire. Compel them to come while there is time. See, God is gracious. He desires for us to come, to respond to his invitation. He expands that invitation and tells all kinds of people in all kinds of conditions, just come, just come. His desire is to fill his house. That's what he wants. He doesn't want an empty house. He doesn't want an empty seat at his table. He wants everyone to experience the satisfaction. And that's what a meal always symbolizes. What is a meal? What is a feast? It's a picture for you and I every time we eat. Man, I'm looking forward to dinner because I haven't had it. I've had a meeting since 4:30. I'm telling you, one thing I do when I eat is I'm going to discover this, and I'm reminded every time I eat that I need something outside of me to go inside of me to sustain me. And it's a picture spiritually that we cannot satisfy ourselves. We need something outside of us to come within us. And so don't you just taste and see for yourself that it's the Lord you need. I mean, he's the bread of heaven that we need to eat. He's the living water that he offers to the woman at the well. That it, when we receive it, man, it bubbles up inside of you. Discover, I've got what I need. You discover that food that satisfies you is not worldly food and what the world offers, but it's doing the will of your Father. That's the food Jesus said, I've come to eat. Finding out and discovering this, and it's at the feasting table that we should recognize, listen, he's inviting us. Just come. Just come and see for yourself. Come experience it for yourself. To compel them means literally drive them in. Move them this way. Persuade them by all means, whatever it takes, to get them in. Now, the amazing thing is, church, that doesn't just depend on us. We have a responsibility to do that. But be mindful of this. Do you realize the Spirit of God is also doing that? The Spirit of God is convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin because they do not believe. Righteousness because the righteousness is available through only the Lord. And judgment because the God of this world has been judged. The Spirit is convicting. If individuals reject that, listen, the bride's coming alongside them, and we're just doing the work God has called us to do as his Spirit is doing the work internally. We're extending that invitation to them as well. And just say this, come. Just come. Just come see for yourself. It's very simple. It's not that hard. Can you say that tonight? Come. No, y'all can do better than that now. Let's try it again. Ready? Really simple. Come. All right, that was pretty good. All right. Just one more time, just three times, okay? Then it becomes memory, right? You say something three times, you should memorize. Ready? One more time. Ready? One, two, three. Come. That's easy. All right? So now do that this week. Invite someone and just simply say to them, hey, why don't you come? Come where? Come and see. Come and see what? Come and see what God can do. Just come. Come and see what he's doing. Just invite them. That's what we servants do. The master says, there's plenty of room. Aren't you grateful tonight? It's not like you're inviting someone and say, well, we don't have enough seats for you. Sorry. You have to come again another time. No. At his table, there's plenty of space. Why wouldn't we invite them? Yes, sure, some will offer excuses. Yes, some will refuse to come. And some, because of that, will be left out. But when you've come, and when you've accepted the invitation, and when you've tasted and you've seen, oh man, why didn't I come sooner? You ever been like that? Man, I should have come sooner and enjoyed this. You see, this invitation God has written to you and me, all of us receive it. The question is, what are we writing back to him? Sorry, I'm too busy. Sorry, I don't have time. Sorry, I've got a relationship that's more important than the one who made me. Sorry, I've got some work that I have to do. Now listen, understand, this is the invitation that's not just to us, it's to everyone. And all our responsibility is just to present it. Just be mailmen and mailwomen, all right? Just deliver that invitation, because I believe the heart of our God is, come, come, come. And then let's pray. Let's watch and see. God, do that work that I can't do on their heart. Listen, there's some that I've been inviting to come, and I've been inviting to come. I'm not throwing in the towel on them. I'm not giving up hope. While there's life, while there's breath, there's opportunity for them to respond. And who knows whether today might be the day where they actually will respond, though they may have refused in the past. No, you know what? I'm not going to give up on them. I'm still going to invite them to come. What would hold me up from doing that? Nothing. Nothing should hold me up because I'm burdened for them. I'm doing what the master said. I'm compelling them, driving them in, whatever it takes. Hey, some of them are blind. They can't see. Some of them are crippled. They can't get here. Some of them are lame. They're going to need help picking them up and helping them get here. Are you willing to do that? That's what the servant had to do. Master, we've done all that, and there's still room. Wow. There's always abundance with our God. There's always plenty with him. Plenty of space, plenty to satisfy. But you got to come and see and experience it for yourself. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Let's stop and think for just a moment. Who could I invite to come this week? They may be in your home. They may be at your work. They may be the one who does your hair. I don't know. But who could you invite to come? Now you practiced. I heard you say it 3 times. You got stronger every time. All right? If you say, I don't know that I can invite them, just slap your knee. I'm going to do it. And do it. All right? And just say, come. Because that's what God is saying. His Spirit is saying that. And part of us going out as a river flooding is we want to invite people to come. Not come to the church. Ultimately, it's what? Come to Jesus. Come to him. Because see, he's done everything. He's prepared the meal. He's girded himself as a servant and suffered for us and done what's necessary so that we can come. And he's told us at this meal that every time we celebrate this meal, we're proclaiming that he's coming again. And when he comes, why is he coming? He's coming to take his bride away to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that will be a feast, a heavenly feast, beloved, where we will celebrate, praise God. We said, yes, I will come. And so I want you to bow your heads with me tonight, if you will. I hope you've responded to that invitation that God has given. If you haven't, then there's still time while there's breath in your lungs right now. You can respond to God's invitation. It's really simple. We have to acknowledge that he's God and we're not. And we need to say thank you, Father, for that invitation that you give us. We don't deserve it. We certainly haven't earned it. What we deserve is death, the punishment for our sins. And so maybe tonight, if you've never responded to that invitation that God has offered to come to him, then right now is the time to say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Thank you for sending your son to die for me in my place. And tonight, I repent of my sins. I deserve death, but I believe Jesus died for me and took my penalty. And I want to ask him to be my Savior and surrender to him to be my Lord. If you've prayed that prayer tonight, just say thank you, God, for loving me and sending Jesus to die for me. And help me to grow and understand just how great your love is and how I can follow and obey. But as our heads are bowed also tonight, if you've already received Christ, then right now, I know we all know someone that needs Jesus. Someone who's out there, they've made excuses, yes. Or perhaps they're just unable to get here. And they're darkened in their minds or understandings, and they can't see or they can't get here. Just ask the Lord even right now, Father, who is it that I can say, come? I can invite them this week to come. And even now, as the Lord impresses upon our hearts someone, ask the Lord to give us courage. Lord, help me this week just to say that simple one word, come, to invite them. Father, may we be found faithful. There's plenty of room at your table. Lord, everything that's necessary has been provided for you, by you. Lord, you told us just to invite others, and someone invited us, and we say thank you tonight. I thank you for Jeff Rousseau, who did that for me. That pastor who didn't have to come to New York from sunny Florida, and Yet he did, and Father, I thank you that he helped me to realize there's an invitation from you to come. And Father, may we be faithful this week just to invite someone. All you call us, Lord, that their response is not on us, Lord. Our responsibility is just to say, come. And so, Lord, let us be faithful with that. Lord, we don't have to argue with them or give them reasons why. We just have to say, come. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful to do that. And then, Father, may we see the response. May we see them come. It may take some time, but God, we choose to believe tonight that your Spirit is working on their hearts. So we lift them before your throne. We've been praying for the lost on Wednesday nights. So, Lord, may we see, Lord, how you have worked in their lives, Lord, and how your Spirit has wooed them and drawn them to you. And, Lord Jesus, as we see the seats filled around your table, we'll rejoice and we'll praise you and we'll give thanks for you and all that you've done. We ask all of this tonight in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen and amen.